What's up, man?
Our guest, he don't know nothing about that song right there. Good old Irish boy is wrapping it up.
That's right.
Sorry, man. It's been about a week or so, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. A couple weeks, I think.
Been a little busy. We'll get into some of that today, potentially.
Yeah.
Got a buddy of mine on today. He's still muted by design. Because anytime I want to make an intro, it's like, you're gonna hear what I have to say. He's still muted, correct?
That's right. Yes, he is.
Fuck yeah, he is.
Yes, he is.
Good friend of mine, East Coast. He's going to tell you that he's Irish. He's not fucking Irish. Had to have a conversation prior to the podcast about what we're not allowed to talk about.
That's right.
On the podcast.
That's right.
It's like, they fucking make movies after these guys. It's like, of course, an Italian guy that owns a donut shop, right?
I do.
Fucking
do.
Kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, super good, dude. We met this guy at WealthCon, believe it or not. Galileo's his last name or some shit like that. I can't figure it out. His first name's Chris.
Something not Irish for
sure. Dude, but what was fun, man, is just hearing a little bit more about his story. And everyone's been busy. We've been jammed since WealthCon. But it's fun to get him on. And what's really cool is you know, as much as we talk real estate with what we do, Chris is not in that. He's a franchise owner for Dunkin's, and he's got some other cool stuff that goes on. And just gives everybody a little bit different perspective with how to run a business, or if you're interested in business and entrepreneurship, what that looks like, and some different options outside of like what you and I do.
Yep. And just to clarify, Dunkin' Donuts. This whole time they were talking Dunkin', I thought they were literally talking about some dude named Dunkin'. Then yeah, I realized
Dunkin' Trussell.
Will came in with the damn like Dunkin' things here.
Yeah, true to Chris, right? He like sends me a box of stuff.
Got a couple of hoodies. Dunkin'. That's cool.
My lady already stole the hoodie. That's not possible. And whatever double X these guys, I'm like, listen, dude, for serving customers that eat donuts, that's your size double X.
Yeah.
You need to increase it.
Yeah.
They're not used to used to the bigger space up top, I guess.
That's right.
Chris, what's up, brother?
Hi, boys. What's going on?
What's up, man?
What an intro, huh? Oh my God.
The second they hear you, you're like, oh, he's like one of those funny Italian guys coaching third base in baseball. Right?
Eyes up, guys.
No, man, super appreciate you coming on the show, and like really curious about, like, I know you're third generation with Dunkin' with your family. We'll kind of get into some of that, but you know, typically how we run this show, right, is day one dollar zero, man. Like, what was your day one dollar zero? Like, rock bottom, or if it wasn't rock bottom, just, you know, unromantically, what was the start? Where did entrepreneurship, you know, come from for you? When did that first get introduced? Or is this just something that your family's been doing for a long time? It was like, no, man, this is just what you're going to be doing.
Yeah. I mean, second generation, you know, just to clarify, but, there was no rock bottom per se. You know, grew up with a good life, you know, had all the support systems, that somebody could ask for. So, I'm lucky in that respect. And, but I guess let's just take it to like the generation one, right? Which was my father, and his brothers. And that's kind of where this whole thing kind of, initiated from in as far as business. And, you know, the short end, the summary story is my uncle had a cleaning business. My father's the oldest of three brothers. So his middle brother had a cleaning business, and this is going back 1989. And he got hurt, couldn't run the business anymore. And coincidentally, my father's neighbor at the time was an owner of three Dunkin' Donut locations. And they were in talks or in transition of selling those locations. So my father just happened to randomly see them walking, as anybody would, right in the neighborhood, and, you know, got into conversation. How you doing? How you been? And long story short, they started getting into a little bit about that business and what it did for them. And my father threw the question out there, you know, I guess you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right? So he said, well, you know, if you guys aren't actually formalized or committed, you know, to a seller per se, would you guys be open to at least us putting an offer in and taking a look at that, you know, for my brother? So, that's kind of how it started. It started.
'Cause you guys had the laundry location, right?
What's that?
You guys had the which location first? The cleaning business.
So that was our Chelsea location, Chelsea, Massachusetts location.
Your dad walks up to this dude randomly and he's like, man, we got
it was his neighbor. Like,
kind of, we got more money to wash. We got to keep washing money. Right? And it's just like, I'm selling these three Dunkin' Donuts. And it's like, fuck. Why don't we think of that? Is it like one of those things or no?
No, back then, really, nobody knew what Dunkin' was. It didn't blow up, you know, probably till the early 2000s.
I'm being funny. We know you're not mafia washing money. These are just Will's asshole jokes to try to get you fired.
Well, I'd have to fire myself, so.
True.
That may not be hard to do.
So what was the, you know, what was the contributor, right? When your dad first got these, like, what took it? Because Dunkin's not known that well. So as your dad figured out how to brand and grow these, was it simultaneously when, you know, because like Dunkin', man, you guys just made a rebrand recently, which is awesome. Looks amazing, feels amazing. I mean, you've got Tom Brady, Matt Damon on commercials. Would love to talk about that here in a little while, but like, what was the biggest thing your dad did like back then to scale it? Because these guys are selling them, right? Like, so were they doing good and they just wanted to sell and collect money, or were they not doing so well with them?
No, I think it was definitely a slow roll, you know, and back then it was like kind of the wild, wild west, you know, there was really no systems, processes, you know, the conglomerate that it is today in many ways, but like, you know, so back then it was, you know, our system's 100% franchisee based, right? So it is your own small business, right? You know, and I don't think a lot of people understand that. So, you know, you run these things as if you'd run, you know, Will and Eli Donuts, you know.
We probably wouldn't today, have donuts.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy into that franchise. But,
Listen, I agree. I agree, buddy. There's a lot I'll say to you, right? Like, you're way better at what you do than us trying to do that. You're right. What would we have? You know, we talked about Frojos one time.
I don't know. There's definitely
But we're just going to leave that thing right donuts. There. Yeah. Frojos.
Yeah.
I did listen to that podcast. That, you did have
a That was our plan B.
He could be onto something. You know, he could be onto something.
We're gonna ride this real estate thing out. I know that's for sure. I wonder if they make creatine donuts.
Creatine's not very stable. I don't know if they
like, you can't cook it if it gets past a certain temperature.
You can't even store it in water.
But you could sprinkle it like powdered sugar.
Ah, see, I like that. There we go.
There you go. Sorry, Chris.
See, it's the innovation. That's what we need in business today. It's the innovation, man. Those ideas.
We're coming for Dunkin'. Trademark that real quick. Don't let Chris make our creatine donut. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, you better edit this out. someone's going to take that and run with it.
Oh, Chris, for the audience, right? Chris is tired this week. Chris has had a long week. I'm reaching. I'm trying the best that I can to get him to lighten up a little bit. Talk to me, Mike.
Is this not light enough?
You're a little serious today.
Yeah, I guess so.
Between, I mean, that room in Vegas we were all talking at.
That was pretty fun.
Listen, that was fun. Can we talk about that?
Let's talk about it.
Well, not everything.
You lay it up. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I just feel like, because I think that's something to talk about. I think that's part of, I just find now, right, in our age, when you meet people, right, we met literally for like 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. Right, like that initial contact, and which I think is kind of funny, because when you did your speech on stage, right, and you told your story, and it resonated a lot. I think not necessarily like specifically to like what you experienced in life, but I think the mannerisms and just kind of like the mindset, you know, which is
it's the like-minded culture, man. It's like, we're just the same people. You know, like meeting you guys at the VIP after I spoke, you and your boy, Dougie, correct?
Dougie Deals.
It was like just having fun with you guys. It was, you know.
We call him Dougie Deals.
I got a bone with Dougie. So you tell Dougie to call me, would you? It's like, it's interesting, right? Because like I'm on a stage and I get to speak, right? That's when I was speaking for Ryan Pineda. But you get into VIP rooms with other like businessmen, man. Like there is, every once in a while, we're like, you just meet some other dudes, and they're like, they're just us. They're a little shorter, probably a little better looking, a little bit more muscular, but they're just they're like little mini us's. You know, like I'm being funny, but it's fun, man. Because when you go back to your state, or you go back to your area, and you go back to the grind of work and everything that you have to do, it's like even though you don't talk to these guys every day, it's kind of like what my buddy Brian Chantosh would describe as like being alone in good company. You know, like you and I talk late 100%. At night all the time because you're East Coast. You're doing your thing. Sometimes you and I will bust balls on Instagram, just chit-chatting. But sometimes it's just about joking and having some camaraderie and some, you know, just mutual grind, mutual fatherhood, mutual like with people. Like even though you're not with them every day, it's just nice to know you have people around you that are trying to pursue greatness and maximize all of their potential while also raising families and trying to be good dudes with everything. It's like, and again, even though you can't go have lunch with them and see them every day, they're close. They're there, you know? And like, it almost feels like you've got this layer of support around you with just people that you meet from those events.
Yeah. And I think that's part of like, for me anyway, like it, I make it a focus to like be in rooms that I otherwise would not be in with no anticipation. Just like, what is this going
to
bring me?
How does that help? And, right. Like going back to the business side of it, like how does going to a wealth con or different things help you on the creative side to then how you influence your business that you've got with Duncan?
Honestly, for me, it's diversity and I'll go into it. Like it's diversity. So like our business is so diverse in terms of, the only way I can describe a franchise business, any real day-to-day business with wage employment, customer base, you're dealing with corporate, you know, franchise representatives, whatever you want to call it. It's like going to warfare every day. And I'm not taking that lightly, but you don't know what you're getting into. So every day there's something new that pops up. There's no linear approach to like going into business. So like every day, if you wake up, and this is, I think, part of the mindset that both of you and Eli have, which resonates. And that's why like, it's just like a magnet. When you see these people in a room, for whatever reason, they just gravitate toward each other. And it's like, it takes one sentence and it's like, okay, that's my guy. You know, he gets it. And I don't even know your history. You don't know mine. It's just like a feeling. It's some type of, you know, but in business, that's, it's the same because, you know, for when you're dealing with people that have every different aspect and every different angle of life and how they come about, why they're doing what they're doing, and you have to deal with that, you know, it's like a triage every single day. So you got to figure out, you know, how am I going to deal with this person today? How am I going to deal with this customer today? But on top of it, you got to manage your business, you know, and you can get lost in the weeds in business, you know, especially on a day-to-day operations like Dunkin', any restaurant-based, you know, QSR or whatever. It's not like, you know, you walk into an office, you got a stack of paperwork, you know, you got to do it by next month. And then you complete it. It doesn't talk back to you, right? You can turn the light off, go home. So in business, and I think that's the same for entrepreneurship, right? And you guys can both attest to this because, you know, you're out there, you're doing it, you've been doing it. You know, you're doing coaching, you're doing, you know, you're trying to extend kind of your business arm, right, with different avenues of within your own industry. So you guys get it, you know, and it's like, if you don't look left and right and keep your head on a swivel, forget it. You know what I mean? That world will just wrap you up and spit you out, you know, and that's why I appreciate growing up in this business, because I was truly, I mean, I was scraping gum off the bottom of the table and my father's telling me like, hey, listen, don't fuck this up. You know what I mean? Like you go in there and you got to be the hardest working person because you're the owner's son, you know, and that really gave me a complex today. I'll be honest with you guys. You know, that gave me a complex of like, I wake up every day and just got to like overprove myself, you know, and because I don't want that reputation of walking into the room and, oh yeah, he's just the owner's son. So that kind of stuck with me.
How do you navigate that? Right. Cause like, I agree and going through like the Marine Corps and stuff like that. And like just ascending into just different ranks of leadership.
Sure.
The hardest worker can be misinterpreted. Right. Like 100%. So for example, right. It's like, if you go from like, let's talk about a Duncan or let's go like a gym. We're all fucking meatheads. Let's talk about a gym. That owns a gym or even not. Let's just look at it. In your entry level, you come in, you're a janitor. And it's like, I'm the hardest working dude here. I'm cleaning, I'm organizing, I'm reordering stuff as far as cleaner, whatever, right? But then as you increase your position, right, you're not necessarily the most physically harding working person in the business anymore. Doesn't mean you're not the hardest working person though, right? It's like, how do you navigate this interpretation for you of like, I have to be the hardest worker. Because we all know, like, hardest work, like, let's use real estate. I'm not on all these showings, right? Like, I'm still helping clients with negotiations. We're still, there's still certain things Will's involved with, right, on the client level. But you got realtors that are out showing 30 homes a day. And then, damn, they're harder working than me.
But I think
it's just so one dimensional, right? It's like, how do you represent yourself within your franchises of being the hardest worker when a lot of folks might just see hard work as the physically demanding side of work?
I think that's the misconception. And yeah. I think it's important to understand that there's definitely levels to all of this, obviously, in terms of like, you know, it's not just like you physically showing up and just, you know, carrying boxes and like, dude, I carried 64 boxes today. You know, delivery came in and I stacked that thing in 5 minutes. It's like, well, at a certain level, yeah, that's appropriate. Right. But when you start leveling up, I think it translates more into your leadership as a leader to know and understand I've been there. Like, I get it, you know, and then when you get sometimes the feedback of like, well, you don't understand today, like that line kills me. It's like my pet peeve, like, well, you don't get it. And we can get that in any relationship, whether it's like, you know, our wives, it's like we go to business, friends, oh, you don't get it. And that's a cop out to me. I think it's a crutch. It's like, well, no, I do get it. You know, I'm just beyond it.
We're just not going to let you rest on any excuses.
Yeah. And I think that's where I think many people do that. I think in business, especially in our business, where it's minute by minute, literally.
Using that example, right, of like boxes, we can kind of correlate that to just like some of the labor within real estate, right, Eli?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll look at you, bro, like, ah, you don't get it. It's actually the reverse. Mm-hmm. No, bro, you don't get it. Because you're 65 still pushing houses.
Yep.
And I've been in this game 6 years, and I'm doing this. Like, no, bro, it's not that I don't get it. I did that already. You don't get it. Why are you still at that level doing that job?
But let's talk about, so with that, right? Honestly, mm-hmm. Let's just talk about what creeps into your mind. And this is why I think people just quit or never even attempt and or just get so frustrated, right? Especially in leadership. And just take it like broad stroke, leadership, you know, entrepreneurship, just challenging yourself, whatever you want to call it, right? I want to run a marathon. You sure. know, just take anything, any real life example. And the moment someone comes to your face, and if you're not, I guess, a strong-willed person or believe in yourself, and it's like, well, you just don't get it, you know? And it's like, well, maybe I don't get it, right? And then you have that self-doubt start creeping in and you start second-guessing yourself. And then the whole, the whole flashback of, you know, well, you know, maybe I'm not good enough. And, oh, well, I didn't do that. And I do remember that time. So you start going through all that mental Olympics, right? In your own mind. And I think that's where the experience is the most important, because it enables you to say, no. Okay. I know where this person is coming from. In other words, it's not an egotistic thing. It's not about me. It's like, I don't even go into those mental gymnastics anymore. For me, it's just like, I understand where this person is coming from.
And as a leader, it's like, and how can I help? Like when someone says they don't get it, it's like, exactly. I hear what you're saying. Like that's what you're saying. But like, is that what you're really saying? Like, are you just being literal with that phrase? Or is it more so like, I'm not being heard, you know? And it's like, 100%. And then it just goes into a phase of like, how can I help? Cause then if I do get it, I got to figure out a way to like close the gap communication wise to just getting them to understand how they're approachable. And what's interesting about leadership for you, I'm curious, cause like in real estate, buddy, sky's the limit and then some, right? Like we'll be selling like new builds on the moon soon, right? Like,
yeah,
there's so many things you can do within real estate, whether it's fix and flips, wholesaling, investing, doing a ton of deals yourself, growing a team, growing a network of agents, growing a brokerage. There's so many things you can do. What I really try to measure and what I really try to do is just like I don't want to be the guy that's been around for 30 years saying I got 30 years of experience when really I've got 1 year of experience that I've just done 30 times. Make sense? For you,
100%.
Sky's the limit for you. You can own all of Boston area, right? All the New England area for like Duncan's potentially. When you've got like staffing at your franchises, like, do you guys like for that model, right? Do you guys go over goals? Do you guys go over what people are ambitious about, what they'd like to do with their career? Are there career opportunities within Dunkin'? Like how do you incentivize folks as far as like coming in and being in those positions?
No, that's a good question. And I think you really hit, that's a loaded question. And I'll give you the reason, because that is the, if you can fix that problem in our industry, and I'm not talking Dunkin', just take QSR, let's take any entry level wage employment, right, business. It was meant to be a springboard. It was meant to be, listen, you're coming here, you're learning how to show up on time, you're learning how to sweep a floor, you're learning how to count money, you're learning what customer service is. And I'll relate that back to real estate, right? Like when you first start, you get your license, you work for brokerage, you know, where are you going? You go to the open houses, right? There's nothing wrong with that, yeah. Right? There's nothing wrong with showing up and working the counter for six hours. But there's a level where you need to start to gain experience. And the difference between us is in real estate, that path of success, right? Or that succession of where you can go is outlined very directly, right? And it's and you can actually probably correlate like time stamped standards to that path, right? Like within 2 years or within 5 years, I'll have my brokerages, and you know, and then from my brokerage, I'll get to XYZ. So it's really wherever you want to go. In wage employment, there was always meant to be a break. There was always meant to be like, hey, listen, like this is for you to get that entry level skill set to then do something with it. It doesn't mean you can't, you know, progress within our industry, right? From assistant manager to a manager. But at those levels, that's all different skill sets for your future to then go do something with.
Yeah.
Ideally, and I'll give you a perfect example. You know, my partner, our partner, who's also kind of our director, he's our director of operations. We don't really have titles, but he handles all day-to-day operations. He's Moroccan. He came to this country. He's a professional soccer player, right? American dream. Just guy came here, hustled, different mentality. He had that sports background. He just knew what it meant to get on the field, practice, show up game day, and just crush it, right? And rinse and repeat. And, you know, he traveled his path, literally started working at Dunkin', and now he's a franchisee, right? So the rest is history. But that path is there. But what's the singular difference between that in any industry is the person. It's the self-responsibility. It's the self-challenge. It's what does that person want to do? And I think that's where the frustration comes from, is people don't think that there's a pathway, or they don't see a pathway for themselves. And I think that's part of leadership. I think that's part of being a business owner. That's part of being somebody that, you know, owns a broker, you know, brokerage, and has agents that's working under them. You need to give them that path.
100%. You know? But it's interesting, right, when you see people maybe have those opportunities, but we've got some agents that have had opportunity like that before, and I'm sure you guys have it in your industry, and like they never get off the porch. Like they never try to go do more. They kind of get settled in. I'm just going to be this day manager that runs this franchise and does this, and then they're great at it, right? But then at some point it gets stale, as in they're not growing as a manager anymore. They're not marketing more, like finding different ways to really take ownership of like that management role, and then creating a better user experience from that franchise, and then what they're doing within that neighborhood, and like eventually, like, and it's not even just franchise, like it's in. I mean, let's look at marriages. First couple of years of marriages, but then like eventually, you kind of just settle into this role as a husband, and you're kind of stale, and you're going through the motion, and you're there every day because you wake up and you go to bed. But you're not necessarily proactively looking at how to improve your position as dad or husband. Like you run into that where you've got like, you know, and like middle level management of like day shifts or whatnot. And it's like, it's almost like it is time for them to go, because you need like some fresh eyes, fresh energy, fresh motivator that comes in that really wants to crush that. And then how do you transition that next person? Is it out? Do you try to get them to get motivated to go up? Or do you ever run across that where like folks just kind of get settled? And then they've had a certain level of success, and then they just settle right there.
Peter's principle, right? Peter's principle. It's just like you will progress to a certain level of your ability. And then at some point, there is a ceiling for all of us, you know? And I think sometimes either you recognize it yourself and operate around that or through that, But I think that's part of the dark world of any business. You need to recognize that in others. You need to be.
So how do you mitigate that? You know, like when it comes from a leadership
standpoint. You don't mitigate it. I think you have to be able to anticipate it, and then run that kind of risk analysis back to your business and say, hey, listen, if I do keep this guy or girl, right, what does that path look like for my business? Am I losing sales? Am I gaining sales? Am I net neutral? And then you explore the other end. You know, okay, let's just say we get rid of this person, right? And we bring in a new individual. Well, what's the pros and cons to that? Well, there's a learning curve. We got to gear up. You know, there's a gray area period where we got to get them up to speed. And then how do they fit into the ecosystem of the store, right? The store culture.
Yeah.
With the other.
Do you like promoting within? Like, do you like promoting employees that you have already? Or is it better to promote out or?
No, 100%. Me personally, the way we operate, 100% promote within. If it's there.
Yeah.
I love that because, and that's, I have enough history and experience now where I can look back and you see those success stories. It's not a lot in terms of like people that just are so aggressive and they're so talented. They just need someone to believe in them and give them a shot.
Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't take a lot. And that's part of what I love about business is some of the smallest, stupidest things that you would shake your head at and be like, well, why is this person even telling me this, right? Like, hey, listen, man, like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, you gave me the contracts for landscaping or plowing and you put food on my family's table. And since then I have like 15 trucks and right, something random. And I go, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That was never on my radar. Those are the moments in business where you go, wow, like you're making, you know, you're putting your thumbprint or giving the ability in ways that you wouldn't even consider. And it's the same way, like we have employees and we say it all the time in our meetings, like we want you to get out of here, you know, not in a positive way. Like we want you to go open up your own business. We want you to be a franchisee if you want to be a franchisee, you know, or if you want to go open up a salon and just take your skill set of knowing how to run a business because that's your passion.
But you kind of have to do that, right? Like how do you make your franchises thrive? Like what about
it comes from us. It comes from top down. It's like, and that's why, like when you said before, you know, you could own the whole, you know, you could own, you know, half the world of franchising, right? But then that template of what your business is completely changes. Now everyone becomes a number. Now everybody's a KPI on a whiteboard somewhere. We're like, for me and for us, you know, with our locations, we have 240 employees, you know, 12 managers, whatnot. Everybody knows us.
How many locations do you guys have?
We got 11 locations.
11.
Damn.
Is there like some locations. Like, there's like a, what's the mafia, like Illuminati with 11? Oh,
that's 33. 11's a good number. 11's a good one.
Eli, run the history on
that. I was thinking like 27, but I was like, that's the Yankees rings.
No, that's the 27 club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Boston, they don't got enough to count yet.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Something like.
Yeah, 27 club. Yeah,
you don't go right home about Boston's fucking World Series.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Is that how many championships we have? Is that
you beat 11? The Rockies for God's sake? You know what I mean? Like fucking hell! Congratulations. Did they even call? Was that like? They should just call that like an exposition season, like a COVID season. Like the Rockies are in the World Series. How many other players on other teams had to get hurt and retire for the Rockies to even make it to the playoffs?
So you want to put the asterisks? Dude, you're the asterisk.
There
guy,
needs to be an asterisk. Boston's win over the Rockies. There needs to be an asterisk. Buddy, what it's, the largest.
It's between history and expansion teams.
I mean, the amount difference. Of stars that had to align and injure, and like to just allow the Rockies to make it through to the World Series. Like, and then Matt Holliday missing home plate. Like, just silly. It's like, don't get me started. Anyway, back to 11 locations. Like, how do you, what do you got? What's your structure like? Are you at weekly meetings for every location? Are you guys like, do you guys ever bring your franchises together for big team meetings or paintball for culture building? Or like, what does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, we do weekly meetings. So we have, you know, every store has their own store manager. We have a floating manager. So we'll do weekly meetings and we run everything through our store managers, you know, down to the crew levels with, you know, so they're empowered. They're going back to their locations, doing training and, you know, and running all the forecasting and all that stuff. So But that's part of that model, right? Is they're touching base with the franchisees. They're touching base with the ownership. And that's important, you know, because they know our story. We know their story. And I think that helps in a lot of metrics in terms of, like, you know, turnover is massive, you know, in our industry. I mean, it's like, it would make your stomach sick, you know, 400-500% turnover, you know? So if you can mitigate, and I think that's a big part of business in general, is it's not just about customers, right? And we talked about that, of, you know, how to drag in business, more business. But the flip end is, like, if you can reduce expenses or turnover, you know, and you can really hone in on that bottom line aspect of your business, that's your competitive advantage.
Yeah.
You know, because only you can't literally go out in the street and just grab somebody by the hood and be like, buy an iced coffee. Right.
Yeah.
So there is levels to, like, being capped out, especially on a national franchise level. So that's why it's important on the strategic level of, like, how you want to grow is, you know, we have eyes on. So I don't have middle level management with eyes on, which sometimes is, you know, they're looking out for either monthly bonuses or incentives for themselves. So maybe they don't do an order this week.
Yeah.
Right. Just to hit a number, a budget number. Right. And then because they don't do an order, they run out of, let's just say, refreshers or something that's popular in the summertime. Right. For us, and customers are pissed off. Right. So stores are suffering, but guess what? That middle level manager hit their incentive. Right. Woohoo. So, and we see that a lot in our business, you know, because at the end of the day, everybody's self-motivated.
So every time I've got a McDonald's and the fucking ice cream thing is broke, it's like some middle level motherfucker's in there trying to get his nut. There's, and I can't get, how long were McDonald's ice cream machines always broke, dog? Oh man, you're exposing the industry. Dude, I like that. Yeah. How many locations did you guys have when you took this on from your father?
So we kind of progressed. I mean, we had stores, we were slow growth. You know, we started with 1 to 2 to 3, back in 2013, 2014, we were in Virginia, like the Sterling, Ashburn, kind of that DC metro area of Virginia. And we ended up, we had a territory to build 5 stores. We had 3, we ended up just unloading those because at the time, like, technology wasn't there for us, the POS system, some of that back office stuff that really makes life a little bit easier today in terms of, like, management, especially remote management.
Yeah.
So, like, myself and my partner Muhammad, you know, we were on flights, you know, once a week going back and forth. And I was young back then, you know, I was just getting into the business, you know, 4, 5, 6 years under my belt. So in terms of management, so it's a lot, you know. We found some crazy shit, dude. We found stuff. We found people on payroll that weren't even working. It was a friend of the manager. Ugh. You know what I mean?
What?
Damn.
Yeah, dude. There was, like, you know, so you'd have Eli on the payroll. You're the store manager. You have Eli on the payroll. Eli's on the beach somewhere. He's working his other job, right? But he's collecting a check.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's wild. And we didn't have technology, man. So, like, I couldn't just sit in Boston on a laptop and crank payroll, right? Or have those systems in place. So we were there, like, looking at rolls of tape, going through VHS.
Oh, shit.
We had, like, VHS, like, security, like, our DVRs and stuff. It was wild, dude. So we got out of that, you know, and we just concentrated up here. And that was our focus, you know, on the back end of things, like, touch it, feel it, smell it, see it. You know what I mean? We can drive to our locations. People know us. And
it's done, like, the right way. Like, you can build the culture you want to build versus, hey, how far can I go to create, like, a land grab financially for myself? And it's like, yeah, on the surface, it sounds good, but it's not.
Well, like, let me
it's
ask like, you guys, hey, like, I mean,
yep.
Wouldn't you guys rather go deeper than wider? Like, in your market in Colorado, right? It's like, wouldn't you just want to dominate? Like, this is my region. You know what I mean? I'm not interested in going to Texas and, you know, going wider.
No, we do with agents. We don't do with our own production. You're right. Like, we don't get licensed in other states. We don't try to go conquer other states. Like, we've got, we're a mile deep here, you know, and then, like, with acquiring other businesses and other agents and other VPs that decide to come over and join our brokerage, they can do that from where they're at. So we can conquer California, but it's through guys that are wanting to conquer California and then we become their partners. So 100%. Like, if Elon and I wanted to own a Dunkin', you know, you could do it because of the trust you have with him and I. You know what I mean? But like, without having things like that, man, it's just hard, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a big misconception in today's, I mean, you guys know, right? You guys have the coaching program. You guys talk to people that are trying to do a lot of different things, you know, sometimes outside of real estate, and you just see it, right? It's just mm-hmm. people are like ping pong balls. And because someone's doing this and they said that they're doing that. And it's like, listen, just concentrate where you are.
Yeah.
Concentrate on being a good leader, taking care of business, right? Success just comes. And I say this all the time, especially in customer service, where in our, you know, we laugh and we say, well, you know, what are the sales this week? And it's like, dude, forget about the sales.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit what that number looks like at the end of the week. Just tell me you concentrated on process,
yep.
on customer service.
The sales come. They come.
That's us 100%, man.
To you, before I let you get out of here, I know you got a long day. We're going to have you on a second time. There's just I know we don't have too much time within like a 30-minute window to crank it out, but do you have like a favorite store or a favorite location that you love, like close to like the Boston Stadium, or like what do you enjoy from it? I've seen you in the stadium a couple times. I've seen you in the stadium a couple times on your Instagram. Is that just?
Oh yeah, yeah. No. I mean, it's not not store related per se. So I'm on our Dunkin' marketing committee, whatever. So we get, you know, every once in a while we'll get out to the games and stuff, just kind of just as a get together. But I don't have any favorite locations. I mean, for me, I love Boston, dude. It's like, you know, it's small and it's large enough, but small enough that we can get everywhere, you know, and you can kind of experience and do things, you know, pretty much at any time of day, any time of year that you want to do. And that's why we love it here.
Did you get to meet Tom Brady for that commercial or what?
No, was that not a good Super Bowl commercial though?
Buddy, I'm really proud. I'm not that Dunkin' needs me to be proud of them. I don't mean to say it from a sense of like, I know what I'm doing. It's just really cool to see Dunkin's rebrand. You know, like the logo and the branding of it and some of the people that they're starting to involve and just, you know, just innovating with the menu and just doing different things, man. It's just like, and I think I'm a fan of it because I'm a fan of business, right? Like when you see something, because dude, we had Dunkin' Donuts as kids out here in Colorado, right? Subpar at best, right?
Right.
And it was just always everywhere else to go. But like then all of a sudden, man, these past couple of years, like especially like this last year, you know, Dunkin's really just become, you know, something to compete with and something to have the conversation about. And like the swag with the jumper suits and the funny Tom Brady commercials. And, you know, like, dude, I'm just a fan of business. When you see a bounce back or just an ascend like that, I think I'm just a fan of it, man. It's just cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like anything in life. It's whether it's business or individuals. I mean, we're all out here just trying to reinvent ourselves, yeah. You know? And you have to, dude. I think that's just, listen, if you're not reinventing yourself periodically when it's necessary, I mean, then, you know, good luck. You know, and I say that like either in friendships, relationships, wives, you know, husbands, you know, marriages, business, you know, if you're not active in managing yourself in terms of growth, and that's the same for business. Like, and I think that was a big part, and I'll be open and honest, you know, what made a lot of franchisees nervous was like, okay, where are we going here?
Yeah.
You know, like why are we on the same template for like 11, 12 years of stagnation? And I don't mean that in a negative way. Like we were still doing things, but it just always felt like we were, you know, we were kind of missing certain moments, right, of opportunity. And then when that rebrand came, we got cool again, right? And it again, it was like anything else. It was a focus on what matters.
Yeah.
You know, like let's just stop trying to do everything for everybody. And let's just concentrate on our market. Like, who are our people? You know, yeah. Like who's our target audience? And that's why I go back to like going deeper versus wider. I think that's a massive part of success is like, dude, it's simple. It's not easy, but it's definitely simple in the fact of who's your target audience? What are you trying to do? And then go get it. You know,
I'll leave you with this. Minus a little bit of like false advertising. Because you're pretty good looking and pretty buff to be selling fucking donuts, bro. You know what I mean? It's like, well, look at me. Like, remember Hulk Hogan?
He's part of the rebrand, bro.
Hulk Hogan's
that's,
like,
that's the thing.
Hulk he's part Hogan's of the like, eat your Wheaties, yeah. Be good to your mother, brother, yeah. And you're going to grow up and be just like me. Like, you have fucking Chris over here. Right? Like, how do you tell your kid not to have a donut when, like, Chris is a donut dude?
See,
like,
he's showing you can have a donut and still be in
how
shape.
How many donuts do you eat a week, Chris? He's like,
you know what's funny?
I'm paleo.
You know, my methodology is if I keep popping munchkins, it doesn't equal a donut.
Yeah.
You know, but at the end of the day, when you have like 12, you might as well just have 3 donuts. So it's like, what are we doing?
How do you keep the carbs out of you? You look great.
No, I don't eat donuts. Do you know how hard it is to walk into stores and not eat? Like,
see, I knew it.
He goes, no, I don't eat donuts.
He's got that drug dealer mentality. He's like, I don't smoke my stash.
100%, man. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't touch the product.
That's right.
I'll drink the espresso. I'll have 16 shots of espresso. Absolutely. A day.
No, man, what a good time.
That's the product.
Dude, we know you got a busy day. We know you got stuff going on. I think we should just, man, there's so much we didn't get to cover or dive into. We'll just have to retap it maybe like next month when we get some more time and you get some more time and just dive into like, because I know some of our listeners are curious about payroll. They're curious about how do they get paid, why they get paid, how they get paid. Like just the whole structure of how you have to operate. That'd be a great episode as well. Mm-hmm. We'll have to retap this into a part two, man, if you're open to it.
No, 100%. And I appreciate you guys having me on. It's been fun chopping it up.
100%, man. We're going to cut some music on. Stay on for a few, and then we'll get you out of here.
All right.
Damn, all right, everyone else, zero. We're out of here.
All right.